A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Dan.
Yeah, here we are, ready to go, closing in on Christmas.
Yes, only, what, 3 days left, roughly?
Well, I like to think of it as one episode of the Repco Light Home Improvement Show before Christmas. And this is it.
Yes.
This is our Christmas special.
Yeah, kind of it is. So, before we get going, I have a quick story to tell.
Oh, is your story boring?
No.
Does it have points?
It is fantastic. Well, no, it's just a fun story, and you always come with stories, so I came armed with a story this time.
Good job.
So my little cousin had an orchestra concert last week, mm-hmm. and 2 minutes before the show, all the kids are on stage, and all of a sudden, this thing is flying around, and people are in the auditorium.
A thing? Like an animal, a critter.
Yes, a critter.
Is flying.
And so everyone thinks it's a bird. And I looked, and I'm at the very top with my aunt. We're in the very back row because we're filming it. And I said, oh, that is not a bird. That is a bat.
Is it a bat?
Everyone starts to clue into it being a bat, and you can tell it's like a vocal wave that happens around the auditorium as the
ducking?
Thing circles. They're
what
ducking
are the children
and they're
doing?
Screaming. They are screaming because this bat keeps flying up onto the stage.
Was this a Christmas-themed concert?
It was until the bat
that
showed up.
Is it online?
Did I have no
take
idea.
Film or footage of
Wait,
this?
The best part is you could tell where the bat was by the
by
screams.
The screams.
All of a sudden, it disappears, and I realize that it has flown into the audiovisual booth behind me.
Oh, a tiny enclosed space.
A tiny enclosed space because there are blood-curdling screams
from
coming
adults?
Behind me. Yes, and things
from
are
men?
Crashing.
Are they pressed against the glass trying to get out?
I could not see, but all of a sudden, I could tell that the bat had flown up in the ceiling because they're all up there with lights trying to figure out where
oh
it went.
My goodness.
So that was my story.
Okay, that's a good story. But yeah. What about today? Let's talk about today.
Today. We have a lot.
We've got a really good last segment that you absolutely need to tune into, because in this segment, we're going to tell you who won our contest that we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've got $900 worth of really cool stuff that we're going to give away. And we're going to tell you who wins it at the end of the show today. We're also going to be sitting in the studio with Jeff Rietveld from Out of the Box Games, who's a part of our contest.
Yep.
And Jeff gave us an opportunity, Repco Light, an opportunity to send a team of the best we've got through one,
you might not want to say that.
Through one of his escape rooms.
Yes.
You and I went. We brought a couple of people with us.
It was
and
a
I'm
lot
sure
of fun.
We nailed it. Jeff's going to tell us exactly how we did on the air. We don't know exactly how we did.
No.
We're going to find out together on the air.
I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
That's coming up at the end. We're also going to be dealing with a couple of paint questions.
Yeah.
So that'll be really fun.
Well, we actually had someone give us a call, and we called her back, and she had such a great question, we recorded the conversation.
After asking her if we could.
Yes.
Yes. We're not the government. And before we get to all of that, let's talk Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Specifically, the Charlie Brown Christmas special and how it completely destroyed an entire product line.
Yeah, you know, that is one of my all-time favorite Christmas specials out there, the Charlie Brown Christmas special. But the poor aluminum trees that Lucy loved so much, man, they disappeared
they
after that
took
special
a major
came
hit.
Out.
Yeah, the little special painted a bullseye around these aluminum Christmas trees and took
specifically
them out.
The pink aluminum trees.
Yeah, they're gone. Here's the deal. We found a great article written by David Murray from last December. And we'll link to it in the show notes, but we thought we'd talk about it here because it was very interesting. He talks about the entire history behind the aluminum trees and then how the Charlie Brown special, which aired in 1965, actually took these trees down.
Yeah, the poor little Christmas trees. So let's go back a little bit. You know, people originally had real Christmas trees, and then all of a sudden, I think it was like 58 or something, they started producing some of these aluminum Christmas trees. You know, just something, a little bit different.
Space agey and awesome.
Yes.
Super awesome. The newest thing. But it goes back a little further because Murray mentions in his article, Popular Science magazine had a little blurb, and we dug it up. We found it online. It's from 1937.
1938.
Yep. But they recommended in Popular Science magazine that you get your little insect killer sprayer, you know, little pump-up sprayer that they mist the garden stuff with and kill the bugs.
Yep.
You get that and you fill it up with bright aluminum, oil-based, lead-based paint and just spray that on your tree.
And it'll give it the molten
silver look.
Yes.
Which everybody wants. So think about that. We are spraying a real tree. Now, the tree itself is quite flammable.
Yes.
You know, as that dries out, it becomes more and more so.
Right.
Now we're going to coat it with an oil-based product. Okay, that
also
seems
flammable.
And it's lead-based on top of it because it's the 30s. And we're putting it on with a little sprayer that mists it into the
air. Right, so now you're inhaling aluminum and lead and all the fumes from the oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Sometimes you wonder what people were thinking. I'm so surprised that people lived through eras like that. Maybe they were tougher because of it.
Well, that
maybe
is
we're
entirely
really
possible.
Soft now.
Mm.
But anyway, we would never recommend that. That seems like a really dumb idea. But the idea of having a molten silver tree seemed to be this lurking need in the American public.
Yeah.
And so in the 50s, it was finally realized in a less deadly manner when they came up with these aluminum trees. Although there's a recommendation or a requirement that you'd not use electrical lights because doing so could end up also in death by electrocution this time.
So yeah, that would be disastrous.
You don't want that.
No.
But these trees came out in the 50s or so and were wildly popular.
Yeah, children of the 60s are going to be very familiar with these particular aluminum trees.
If they can remember them.
Yes.
60s were a crazy time.
Wow. Yes. Yes, they were. Well, but these aluminum trees, you know, they're kind of like tin foil almost for the little branches, and it goes together much like a fake tree now does. You just put them in the little center point. But poor Charlie Brown, you know, he goes to find this other tree, and
because he's putting on a play, and the play is not coming off the way he wants it.
Right.
And Lucy talks about how, hey, Charlie Brown, Christmas is commercial. That's what it is.
Right.
You got to just wrap your brain around that. He doesn't like that.
Right.
No, I need something different. Mm-hmm. So he goes to this lot, being told to get a pink aluminum tree.
Right. Well, and let's think about what was happening in the 60s at that particular time. You've got the assassination of JFK.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Vietnam and everyone's up in arms about that.
And then Charlie Brown's Christmas special comes out and they make a point of targeting all of that negativity that we're experiencing and they focused it laser directed on the aluminum Christmas tree, which I don't recommend, because if you shoot a laser at aluminum foil, it's going to bounce back and hit you in the eyes.
Yes.
But the point is, they directed all of this frustration and they kind of wrapped up what was wrong with America and Christmas and the world in general.
Right.
They kind of tied it around an aluminum Christmas tree, and that the answer was to go back to the real deal, even if it was the scrawny little tree.
Well, and people in that time period were looking for something nostalgic, something that took them back to a happier time in their lives, something that made it feel homey. And for most people, you know, the parents of the kids in the 60s, that was a real Christmas tree. And so you saw them ditching
all
the aluminum
sudden,
trees.
A huge resurgence. So this market that ballooned and became incredibly popular, the aluminum Christmas tree market, deflated almost instantaneously thanks to Charlie Brown. I can imagine going to work the day after that Christmas special aired and working for this aluminum Christmas tree company and realizing we just got targeted on national television. Oh, this isn't going to be good.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Well,
but what's funny is that now things are shifting back towards aluminum Christmas trees. They're resurging. And I think it's the exact same reason.
Yeah.
It's because we live in a world that's full of all this anxiety and who knows what's happening. And so we tend to want to have this nostalgic look back.
Yep.
And we think of the 60s and the 50s and that era as being a calmer, more understandable time. And we want to revert back to the feelings we had in our childhood. You know, for me, I wasn't born yet, but I know my uncle, one of his big wants on his Christmas list was an aluminum Christmas tree.
Yeah, because he was a child of the 60s and that feels like home to him. That's the comfortable place. So yeah, it is crazy. Everything goes in cycles. Everything comes back around.
I wonder what my kids are going to see as nostalgic someday. I wonder. That's a little scary.
Yes,
anyway,
it is.
We thought that was a really interesting story and thought it was worth digging into on air.
Yeah.
Just because
it's just a fun Christmas
story. It's a fun Christmas story.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get back to home improvement-y things when we talk to Ruth, one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
She was very flattering to us on the phone.
She was.
When we talk to her about a paint problem that she's got going on right now. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, we get to do something that we don't normally get to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's take a phone call.
Yes.
I've always dreamed of this moment.
Okay.
Let's see if it's as awesome as it seems it will be.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth, Thanks for calling. What can we help you with?
Well, I listen to you guys' show all the time, and I love it. And
well, we like
about
that.
27 years ago, me and my husband moved into an older farmhouse, and we had this drop ceiling in the living room,
mm-hmm.
and we hated the drop ceiling. So we took it down because we wanted to see what was under it. What was a tin ceiling.
Oh, so you had
this is
tin ceiling
beautiful.
Underneath the drop ceiling. Very nice.
Yep. And so we pulled the drop ceiling down, and part of the tin, some of the tin was like rusty, you know, and my husband said, well, why don't we just paint the tin white?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, that would be cool. So we painted the tin white, and it lasted for like 27 years, and now it's just starting to peel. And I got three big spots where it's the paint's peeling off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to do. I mean, it's going to be too big of a job to strip all this off and have the original tin. Or, I mean, I don't know how to clean this tin. What do I clean it with if I do that?
Sure.
So I'm just lost.
What's it peeling down to? I guess let's start with that. Is it peeling down to... Go ahead.
It's peeling down to the paint's peeling off, so I could see the tin underneath it. So the paint's just peeling off.
Is there any rust under the paint that's peeling off, or is it just peeling off of the tin itself?
It's just peeling off the tin itself.
Okay, so it's not caused by rust.
That part isn't rusty at all.
Okay.
That part where it's peeling, the rusty part was kind of over on the other side, and that side's starting to bubble too.
Okay. So I guess one of the things that you need to assess is just how well the paint is adhering. I know you don't want to strip it all off, but if the paint, like you're saying, is bubbling, because sometimes paint, when it doesn't bond to a surface, now it bonded for 20-some years, you said, 27 years or so.
Yes.
And when you go back that long ago, you were probably using an oil-based product for that primer and the finish coat and however you did all that painting. And the thing with oils is that over time, they become brittle.
Mm-hmm.
So with the expansion and the contraction of those ceiling tiles in that room, when it heats up, when it cools down, they just can't keep up with all that flexibility. Latex products can flex better, but chances are you've got multiple layers of an oil, and the thicker it gets, the more likely it is to chip and peel. Have you scraped at it a little bit? Do you notice that it just keeps going, that the more you scrape, the more you can get off? Or does it seem to be...
Yes, that's exactly right. The more I scrape, the more I can get off.
All right.
And I think it started because I have a wood-burning stove, and we burn wood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might have started because it's kind of up above where the wood burner is.
Oh,
so I'm thinking that might have made it do that, too, where the wood... You know?
Right.
So how intricate is the tile, the design in the tile? Because some of these tin ceilings can be very intricate. Some of them are relatively smooth. Is there a lot of intricacy to the design?
Yes, there is. It's all, it's a beautiful, I mean, it's gorgeous.
All right. Well, I guess the downside is if the paint's starting to fail, which it sounds like it is, because you said if you scrape at it, the more you scrape at it, the more you get off. There's not a coating that you can put on that's going to make that stick. And in fact, a lot of the times what can happen, or potentially what could happen, is even the surface tension of the new paint drying could pull areas where right now it looks like the paint is stuck. It could pull that right off, and you'll have the new paint coming down. So really, you do have to, if you want to go over it and keep this look, you've got to get all of it off. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to strip it with a chemical stripper, which I think you mentioned in the beginning, or maybe you weren't even thinking that, but I think that's why I was asking how intricate the design is. Because
it sounds like it's just going to come off fairly easily with just a little bit of scraping, or perhaps one of those wire brushes getting
up there
and pulling it off.
Basically,
yeah, because I could get a ladder and just get up there and just start pulling off pieces of it. Big chunk.
I think that's probably the best way to go, is to get all that you can off. If anything is left on there, you know, work at it a little bit and make sure that it's really stuck down. Then go ahead, and once you've got as much off as you possibly can get, because like I said, a new paint over top of that could cause issues and pull it off anyway. We've had people do that, not necessarily with a tin ceiling, but on the sides of houses and stuff, and then they still have the new paint come down, so it's just a continual problem. But I would go through, scrape it, get a, like Betsy said, a wire brush, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get as much off as you can. Make sure that what remains is really stuck down. And then wash everything really well we'd recommend. What do you think, Betsy? TSP?
Yeah, TSP and water.
Yeah, it's just something in the story, but just get it cleaned, especially when you mentioned you have the wood burner down there. We want that surface clean. You could use a Scotch-Brite pad, one of those little green scrubby pads, and that will hopefully, you know, dull the surface as well. And then prime it.
So what would I prime it with?
You'd want to use a rust-inhibitive metal primer and an oil-based product at that point. Now, we just inferred that perhaps the oil-based product caused the problem in the beginning, but at this point, you need something rust-inhibitive, and we're talking a thin coat of an oil primer.
Right.
That's not going to be an issue.
Okay.
Repcolite makes 449 metal primer. Yeah. That would be great to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Get that up there because that will seal in the rust spots and prevent any, because you mentioned rust in the beginning. And once that's all sealed, then you could go to a latex paint over top of that, a water-based product.
Okay, now, do either one of you know somebody that could? Because, see, my husband passed away in February.
Okay, I'm
and
sorry
so I'm
to hear that.
Kind of
You're
trying
stuck
to,
trying to figure
have
this
to
out.
Deal with this by myself. Do you recommend anybody that could maybe come out and look at it for me and give me an estimate?
Yeah, where are you located, like roughly?
In south of Door.
Okay.
And by, to south of Door, between Door and Wayland.
So what I'll do is I will get a hold of some of the stores that are closest to you. We've got a thing on our website. We'll take care of this for you, but for anybody out there listening, we've got a spot on our website where people can write in, you know, their location, what project they're working on, and then we will take that information to the closest store. And the store is very aware of the contractors we work with who are maybe have an opening coming up or something like that, and they will...
Or they work in your particular area.
Right, and they'll get you some names. So we will take care of that for you, and I will try to email you back some names in the next little bit here. I'll just check with the stores and get some ideas of who might be open for a project like that and looking for some stuff to do, and we'll get you some names.
Oh, I would appreciate that. Thank you so much, because I didn't know what to do. I'm stuck here all by myself.
Yeah,
with my husband being gone now, it's just like, oh no, what am I going to do?
Got all of this to do, and you don't want to cover up that ceiling. That looks so pretty.
No.
You don't want to cover it up with a drop
ceiling.
No,
I know. My
ceiling,
it looks terrible, you know?
I'm still highly jealous that you have a tin ceiling and a farmhouse. That's like my dream.
Yeah.
Well, I know. And we did a lot of work to it too, and we love this tin ceiling, and and I just, you know, I'm just sick about it. That was peeling. I thought, what do I do? You know, I thought my husband was around, he would know what to do, and I heard you guys' show, and I thought, well, just going to give them a call. Maybe they got some ideas.
No, there's ways to get this fixed, and it's not going to be as bad as it sounds.
No.
Usually once these things get started. But like I said, we'll get you some names and get you going. And because you called and asked the question, we'll get you a gift certificate for $50. And that'll get you started on the project at least.
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Ruth.
Okay,
Ruth,
you need my email address?
Yep, hang on the line for just 1 minute, and we'll get some of your information.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, hopefully that will help Ruth get going. We'll make sure that she gets hooked up with some contractors and make sure that things move along. We'll stay in touch.
Absolutely. Now, if you have any questions that you want to ask us, and maybe you would like to ask them on the air, you can call us at 616-396-1275. Leave us a voicemail message with a short version of your question, and if it's a really good one, we'll give you a call back.
Well, we'll give you a call back anyway.
Yes, we'll let you know the answer anyway, but if it's really good, we'll use it on the air.
If you want us to.
Right.
Now, when we come back, we did an escape room, and we're going to tell you how we did it.
Uh-huh.
That's next. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, we went through an escape room at Out of the Box Games.
Mm-hmm. In Zealand.
And we nailed it. We brought an entire team of Repcolite's
finest. The best of the best.
Right. I mean, we went through and figured out exactly.
We were like the Navy SEALs of escape rooms.
The Navy SEALs. I trained and trained and trained for this experience, and I know we nailed it. So right now, because the experience was absolutely, I think, one of the most fun things I did, and one of the things I most excelled at, I'm almost certain, we want to talk about it on the radio. We're going to give away our prizes for our Great Big Contest coming up later.
The next segment.
So you got to hang around for that.
Yep.
But right now, we're in the studio with Repcolite's finest, some of us. I mean, because we've really got a lot of finest. In fact, there's probably nobody that's not finest.
Are you done rambling yet?
If you judge us by our standards, we're all pretty good. Dave Helmholt, store operations manager.
Hi.
And we've got Bob Trozak, the manager of the Plainfield store, with us.
How's it going?
Hey, thanks for being here, guys. And more importantly than you and us, we've got Jeff Rietveld, the owner of Out of the Box Games, who ran and created this escape room for us to go through. Well, you didn't create it for us, right?
Not for you specifically, no.
But we nailed it. I know we did. Uh-huh. Jeff's here. Jeff,
well,
thanks for being...
he's run the numbers, so we'll see if we nailed it.
He just interrupted me while I was being polite.
Oh.
Jeff, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I apologize for Betsy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, an escape room. Not everybody's aware of what that is.
No.
I mean, it sounds worse than it is.
Well, we didn't know what that was until we actually got there to do it.
Well, I had an idea. I mean, Dave, Bob, you guys have ideas about what these were?
Absolutely. Yeah, for the most part, I knew. I've done, like, board game escape rooms, but never an actual live escape room.
Well, we really rocked it. So,
We did real well.
I guess, Jeff, why don't you kind of introduce us to the whole game, the escape room concept. Introduce the listeners. Because, really, people need to know about these because I don't think I've ever had more
fun. Well, people think you just get locked in a room and then you get chained up to something or who knows.
I never thought I was going to be chained to anything.
People think that, though. I have talked to people and told them we did an escape room, and that's what they think it is.
Well, Jeff, explain to our listeners what we're talking about and why they want to do it, first off.
All right. Well, basically, in a way, people pay money to get locked in a room.
So Betsy is right.
However, the fire marshal would not like that. You are never fully locked in any escape room. There's always an emergency exit for you to be able to get out. And you're basically following the clues to find the puzzles, to figure out, to open up the next chest, the next box, the safe, etc., to work your way through it, to be able to get out in an hour, or to be able to meet whatever challenge the room has.
So what was ours called again, Dave? Do you remember?
I don't recall what it is, but it wasn't being locked in and trying to find puzzles.
No, we cracked the door open so we could breathe, right? Because you said the room gets pretty hot,
especially
or pretty
with excitable groups.
That was us.
What was it called?
It was called Last Will, and that one's more of a treasure hunt room. So you're actually hunting for pirate coins, and you're working towards a final score to see how well that you do, which is what is allowing us to measure exactly how you compare it to other groups.
Right, which I'm excited to hear about. But first off, were you guys disappointed when we got into the room, but when Jeff first explained that we were going on a treasure hunt rather than being locked in a room and we've got a... I was disappointed because I thought, I was thinking we were going to solve some major crime or something and prevent something bad from happening.
I don't know if I was disappointed as much as I didn't know there was different types of escape rooms. So I don't know if disappointment is exactly what I felt.
It's probably strong for
me. Maybe a little bit, but it still seemed like a lot of fun for the treasure hunt.
That's the thing. When I got in there, oh, my goodness. Because I kept thinking, I could see that it was a small room. Jeff, you said it was the smallest of the rooms you have.
Yes.
And there's four of us.
Mm-hmm.
Four brilliant minds.
Right.
Three brilliant minds and Bob.
Yes.
That's pretty accurate, actually.
I was going to say Betsy, but I knew you'd say something snarky back, and I figured Bob would just roll over. I figured, what's there going to be to do? I couldn't believe how much there was to do.
It's amazing how much you can cram into a little tiny room like that.
So the concept, Jeff, what were we trying to do in this room?
So this room is called Last Will, stands for Last Will and Testament. Basically, the story is your Uncle Arthur has passed away, and he's let you come in with a group of friends into his study where he's hidden this old pirate treasure. And what you get out of it is what your inheritance ends up being. And there's probably double to triple the amount of puzzles in there as there are in most escape rooms, and it's not very sequential, meaning you can work on multiple things at once, and you're not stuck following a particular path.
That is true, because there were some puzzles that we thought went to one thing. We found them early. Oh, it must go to this. This is how we solve this. And that was not true at all.
Because there are, what are they, red herrings?
Yes.
Or something that we ran
what's
into.
What's nice about this particular escape room as opposed to the other ones is you don't get bottlenecked into one puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, some of the escape room games, at least I've heard, is you'll be working on something and all of a sudden you'll get to this one puzzle and if you don't pass it, you're not moving on to the next thing. This, you could set something down, move on to something else, work on that for a bit, and then circle your way back when you needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for all our brilliance, we set a lot of things down and moved on to something else, didn't we?
Yeah. Many times.
Yep.
So why don't we get to right now? Shall we find out how we did and then kind of analyze it? Because I know we rocked it. I got a good feeling.
Well, how long do you think this is going to take? Because, you know, at some point we're going to have to go to a commercial break because they're going to force us to do so.
Yeah. Well, I think we can get our feedback
the initial
now,
result.
And then we'll discuss it on the other side.
We'll discuss how... Maybe
if
possibly
you would stop
disappointed
talking,
we are.
We could get to it. We're not going to be disappointed, are we, Jeff?
Well, we'll find out.
How did we do, Jeff? I'm nervous now.
So we've had, as of the day you had done the room, 357 groups do the room.
Okay.
I should also say you got the equivalent of $212,000 in coins.
See?
Ooh.
Yes,
wait,
and we donated it all
much?
To charity.
About
$530,000. Oh.
No, that's still really good. I'm happy with $200,000. I haven't never had that kind
of
money.
I broke it down like percentile. You know, 90th percentile means you've done better than 90% of the people that did it.
Yeah.
You weren't in the 90s.
I wasn't. Okay.
No.
Were we higher than that?
No, 6.8th percentile.
So that means?
You did better than 6.7%. Of other groups.
So most look, people did no, better
no,
than us.
We did better than 6.7%. Wait a minute. That means 90-some percent did better than us?
Yeah. Out of 357, you did the 330th best.
Wow.
Is there
I blame
a trophy
Bob.
For that? Wait a minute. No. Don't blame Bob. He's my scapegoat.
We did well.
Did you think we did that? Wait a minute. Are you screwing with me?
No, these are the exact numbers.
We did what? Say it one more time.
So you were 330th place out of 357.
So that far. Is not brilliant. As much as you keep saying we are brilliant, I don't know what that says about us.
Dave.
I don't even think we're at the GED level that Bob was talking about.
You guys did a poor job recruiting, really, is what you did.
Oh, my goodness. We did that badly? This isn't a joke
nope.
for the radio?
You were below average by quite a bit.
I don't like hearing that.
Oh.
Is that $200,000 really good now?
It's no. I got to process this. We're going to have to just go to a break. I meant to go later, but right now I need to go to a break. I need to think this through. 90 what? People did, how many percent people did better? 94% of the general public?
93.
Beat us? I mean, are they kids?
A lot of them.
Children?
You're looking at this wrong. See, we weren't last, and that's a win.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a break. I'm going to process this experience, and I'm going to come back and be professional.
Uh-huh.
Children beat us.
Yes.
We'll be
Many
back after
children.
After the break. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, and we're back.
We are.
I didn't want to come back. Honestly, we've been talking
those
with
Those results
Jeff,
were depressing.
Yes, with Jeff Rietveld from Out of the Box Games. We're in the studio with Dave Helmholt and Bob Trozak from Repco Light. And with Betsy and I.
The dream team.
The dream team. I thought we were the dream team. We went through an escape room at Jeff's Zealand location, and that's where you've got them, right?
Yes.
You've got a Grand Rapids location as well, but the Zealand location has the escape rooms.
That is correct.
So we went through this escape room. It was called Last Will. I was, like I said in the last segment, I was disappointed when I heard we weren't going to escape out of the room. That disappointment went away immediately when I realized we're in a room that's just like a movie where
mm-hmm.
you can pull books off shelves and shake things up and pull paintings off walls and who knows what's hidden where. We didn't know. We had all these clues to figure out. And I thought, well, honestly, I tried to make a big deal out of it. I knew we didn't do
great.
Stellar. I had no idea. Jeff gave us our news, and that's why I didn't want to come back. We were in the sixth percentile, right? Which means 94, basically, percent of the population, children included.
Did better than us.
Outthought us. Uh-huh. We know pain. We can't find our way out of a wet paper bag, but we know pain.
So you want to coat your wall, come see me. You want me to escape out of room? No, thanks.
Yeah, so why don't you guys just talk for a while? I got to just sit and think about that. Because, Jeff, you told us during the break that it's even worse than you've told us because more people have gone through now.
Yeah, since then, another 32 groups have done the room, and they've all beaten you as well.
So
you're
just
probably more like the fifth
worse.
Percentile about
oh.
now.
Wow.
With how do we redeem
results,
ourselves?
It just makes me want to go back and do another room just to prove that we can do it.
Yes.
We can't be that bad.
I wanted to do another room the minute this one was over. And as the timer was ticking down, I just kept thinking, I do not want this to end.
Uh-huh.
I can't explain the experience. It felt like being in a movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was completely immersive. It was super fun.
Yeah, it almost, you just focused everything on that room. Like, when I was in there, I wasn't thinking about anything else. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about the puzzles within the room. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Even, again, that whole, like, escaping out of a room thing, that wasn't that big of a deal. Like, there were so many different puzzles and so many different things to try to figure out in that room. But
boy, we really did that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Well, wait, though. We were close on so many things. If we had just done that little extra step, you know, turn something over, which is what made Bob so mad.
Man. Jeff, you walked us through, you know, some of the puzzles
where
it was
we
all
missed.
Over. That was embarrassing.
Yes.
Yeah, you had a number of items that you were very close on. In fact, you really did the hardest part, and then you sort of forgot about it.
Wait, I would like you to say that again. Oh, wait, you're not giving us a compliment. You're saying we did most of the work and then just quit.
Yeah. Quit before you got the real reward.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't a compliment. I'm looking for anything here.
For those of you who are about to do a future escape room, the one piece of advice I could give you is if you pull something out and you're checking it, flip it over. There might be something underneath there that's important.
It's very,
very
important.
Yeah.
Or maybe when you check the inside of a safe, you check all the sides and not just half
part
the sides.
Of it.
Well, and if you find something that seems really bizarre, don't ask Bob or Dave if this is something that we should think about, because they'll say no, and then Jeff will come in and say, "How come nobody found this? I didn't check it." What a dope.
Uh-huh.
What an absolute dope.
Well, we did. We got half of a lot of things, and we just didn't finish
it. That's something. Can we get a trophy for that?
Yeah, we'll work something out.
He feels so bad for us. He's willing to give us a trophy. Yeah. We did so bad.
Now, how many escape rooms do you have?
We have three rooms right now.
Three rooms. Why don't you just quick give us a...
Sure.
We've got Last Will.
Last Will is a 2 to 6...
Can't recommend it enough.
2 to 6 person room. We have apartment 114, which we just opened about 2 weeks ago, is 3 to 12 people. And then we have Lockdown, which is 6 to 16 people. They're all private, so if you book it with 5 people, it'll only be your group.
Do you have a disadvantage on a room that you can cram 16 people in?
The disadvantage has more to do when you do try to cram. If you fill that room up to capacity, the big groups can do very, very well, but they're more likely to do poorly because you have more brains working on the puzzle, but you have more mouths distracting. If that group of 16 can communicate well, they can do very, very well.
So what did we do poorly? I mean, besides everything. I mean, were there specific things that Bob and Dave and Betsy need to work on?
Oh, because you're perfect. Yeah. You didn't drag anybody down.
The star, Betsy.
Honestly, in your own mind.
I shut down. I got there. Betsy said, well, let's make Dan be the leader because he always talks. He won't stop. And I just shut down. Looking at puzzles. My brain's, I don't know. I'm just looking for stuff on the ground because I'm close to the... What did we do poorly? What things do we need to fix?
Probably had more to do with the attention to detail to finish the puzzles. And I think we told you ahead of time, when you open something up and you find a bunch of coins in there, that's great. Yeah. But what if there's something else?
Thanks for grinding that point home.
Bob, do you feel really bad now?
So frustrating. He's like, this is how to solve this puzzle. And I'm like, oh my God, I pulled that out specifically to look at it. And I did not flip it over. Why didn't I flip it over? I'm such a dummy.
But to me, what was great is that, you keep saying, and I keep saying, we all keep saying, we were frustrated, we were this and that. It's a frustration on a whole different level than really what maybe you think we're meaning, because right. it was super fun frustration.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, yeah, it was a fantastic time. Yeah.
It makes me want to do it again.
Well,
as soon as we got done, that was all I could think about. Oh, I want to go back and do it again, or another one. Or
as soon as we got done, we were discussing when we would all get together and try again, because of yeah. how awesome we did. We wanted to, like, but we wanted to defeat every escape room in the city of Grand Rapids.
Play school
at this point,
version.
Right?
But
could
I want
do.
To do the same room now that we know all the puzzles, because we've got to be able to improve our results.
We'd go backwards, right? You got 185,000 coins.
Do people come back and do the same rooms?
The room
improve?
You did, we've had one group do it 3 times now. They come and visit every summer, and the first 2 times, they didn't do as well as you did.
Look.
Oh.
Let's go head-to-head with them. Next time they're here, let's just throw the gauntlet down.
He
We're
did say
train.
They improved, though, the third time.
So they might be better the third time.
I was already talking
beat
at that point. Oh.
The first
oh.
time they had
but,
under...
But you said the first time people go, right? You said that during the break, that people normally
every
really
Every first time
stink.
Of an escape room is going to be a bit more of a struggle, because you really don't know what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
That first
See,
room that you do will always good. Be your biggest challenge, because you don't know, do I pull this picture off of the wall,
right.
et cetera.
I'm
now,
just...
Oh, there was one area you actually did better than average. Do you want to hear about that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Please.
So less than 10% of groups actually find all of the loose coins that are hidden around on the floor, on a shelf,
uh-huh.
in a little nook
oh.
and a cranny. And you guys got every single one of those.
All right.
Ah.
So there's a life skill. We're good scavengers.
Uh-huh.
Like rats. Rats are good at that. We're like rats.
Level. Compare us to rats?
That's about as high as I dare go. 94% of the public beat us, Betsy. Children.
Children
My kids are never going to let me know.
Children actually can do quite well in rooms.
Because their brains are more rubbery, right? They're like able to absorb all
well,
this
Well, and they're
stuff.
Not always overthinking as much as we
yeah,
adults can do. We had one room yesterday where we had 2 groups go through. We had a Hayworth group, and then a couple hours later, we had a birthday party of 12-year-old girls. And the 12-year-old girls did about 30% better than the Hayworth group did.
Wow, see?
I'm sure they're going to love to hear those results.
Sorry, Hayworth.
Well, I'm sure Hayworth beat us into the ground.
Well, most
Along
people did 94% now.
94% of the area.
Yeah.
Jeff, you've got these escape rooms. You've got games, toys, puzzles at your Zealand and Grand Rapids store. Not the escape rooms at Grand Rapids. How do they best get in touch with you if people out there want to experience some of these things for themselves?
Anytime they can call us at 772-5544 or on our website. You can go right on there and take a look at the individual rooms, and you can make a booking right there. We do recommend some advance, working a little bit in advance, because we can get very busy, especially on weekends. The website's at www.ootbgames.com.
The cost of it is generally how
Normally,
much per person?
$25 a person. Kids 11 and under do get half price in our rooms.
Now, what about people who perform like children 11 and under?
They still pay full price.
Oh, I thought
Wishful
we were maybe
going to
get a bargain
part.
On the next one. Anyway, Dave, Bob, Jeff, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
And Betsy, that's going to do it. We're
it
all
is.
Done. Except for the annual Christmas Carol sing.
No.
The Repco Light Home Improvement
that
Christmas Carol.
That is not
Carol.
What people are waiting for. They're on the edge of their seats waiting for something very important
the
that
Christmas
you promised
Carol
them.
Is really
no,
the
no,
winner
no.
of the contest?
Yes.
All right, let's get to the winner. We had a ton of entries.
We did.
Sadly, only one person can win.
Yes.
But their entire family wins.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty fun.
Uh-huh.
All right, the winner of our big contest
uh-huh.
is Christina Ashby.
Yay, Christina!
Christina, you're the winner of all of those great things that we talked about for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
And we will be in contact shortly to figure out the best way to get it to you, so you've got it by Christmas.
Absolutely. We want those gifts underneath your tree. And one last order of business. We, of course, Dan and I, and everyone at Repcolite, would like to wish all of you listeners out there a very Merry Christmas.
And, honestly, even the people who aren't listening, they too can have a Merry Christmas this year. So
Absolutely.
Spread the word. Merry
right.
Christmas from Repcolite. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll do everything we can to help at least one person out there, Christina, have a really great Christmas.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening.